Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners. Thank you guys so much for listening, and thank you for being with us through all of the changes recently. We're in it. We ain't leaving. Guns a-blazing. I am actually doing like finger guns right now, but I'm grateful for you guys, and I want to let you know that we're doing all of our early and ad-free content at patreon.com/deadlypodcast, and that includes the Deadly Diocese updates, and we got some crazy stuff going on there. So just early and ad-free, sign up if you want.
We'll be there. Bonus content.
Yeah, bonus content, visuals. We got some video stuff.
Some content you might not even want.
I assume that a lot of people don't want a lot of things that I do. But
spooky season's coming up. We might have a few surprises on the Patreon, you know, that are a little scary. Not ready for the regular feed.
Greg, I don't want you to say that Sasquatch does not exist on our ranch. And that's final. Just because we don't have a lake here, I listened to my favorite podcast, or one of my favorite ones, Sasquatch Chronicles, last night as I went to bed. Like I normally do, I like to listen to that and Cam from What If It's True? Yeah.
Yep.
And, but on Sasquatch Chronicles, they were basically describing our ranch. Yes, we don't have a lake, but every single part of it was Sasquatch is here and he's real.
Well, we don't have a lake, but we do have pinions.
We do.
And we're in the midst of a pinion harvest. They come like once every 5 to 7 years. And maybe that's bringing Sasquatch here.
He's still feels like you don't believe in him.
I believe in him. I just don't know if he's visited us.
He has. Well, not to make light of this absolutely heartbreaking, mysterious, unsolved story that involves so many loved ones who really don't have full answers. There are mysteries that, you know, we'll never know. Like, I talk about Sasquatch. But that is, or pales in comparison to mysteries that really involve the loss of human life. And while I find the mystery of Sasquatch and cryptids and ghost stories very interesting, I do believe this story lies in human intent and human error. And that's just my personal opinion. This is the mysterious disappearance of Malaysia Flight 370.
Breaking news tonight, a Malaysia Airlines plane carrying 239 people bound for Beijing is missing.
Associated Press is reporting minutes ago that the Vietnamese Air Force planes have spotted two oil slicks.
What appeared to be clues have been debunked.
Story of Malaysia Flight 370 all week. You know how sharp and constant the twists and turns have been. So often we've gotten the wrong information, sometimes from government officials, sometimes from well-meaning experts. And at times we've thought, is the mystery finally over? But no, it was not.
Just learned this new information that the plane was way off course when it went missing.
This is a massive layered story with mystery, grief, conspiracy theories, and government questions. Picture a red-eye flight. Seemingly like, you know, just a short nap, lights down. But as flights go, there are nervous passengers. There's tension in the air. I mean, who among us isn't a tad afraid to fly? Even if we know the stats, you're more likely to die in a car crash than on a plane crash, sure. But taking off in the middle of the night is always terrifying. On March 8th, 2014, in the Kuala Lumpur International Airport in Malaysia, it was an ordinary night, sure. Passengers were there, their boarding passes in hand, tired, nervous, ready to do whatever their journey would take them to. Some people were there for business. Some people were visiting family. Some people were maybe ready to go on vacation, whatever their journey was. They were boarding this plane expecting safety, like you have to expect when a pilot is at the helm of your entire life, basically, and your family's life, your children's life. So this flight was supposed to take them across the South China Sea to Beijing, a Boeing 777. I don't quite know how to say that. Do I say 777?
I think 777 works. All it's right. A big plane. I mean, bigger than a 747.
Yeah. Yes, there were 227 passengers and 12 crew members.
That's a large plane. That's a lot of people.
Yeah. I believe when I was researching this, it weighed a certain amount of tons. It's a huge, huge plane.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been on a... Well, maybe on a international flight.
Yeah, probably I have on an international flight. But yeah, huge plane. People just expecting to go to sleep, take a nap.
Take a nap, yep.
So they take off without incident. And then there was silence. No distress call, no warning. Just the sudden disappearance of a plane that should have flown safely for 6 hours. And the world would soon learn that some mysteries leave no trace, no debris, no easy answers. And we want to try to trace aviation's most confounding stories, the disappearance. And it is straight up a disappearance of Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. The passengers feel that they are in the safe hands of Captain Zahari Ahmad Shahar and First Officer Farik Abdul Hamid. The captain is a seasoned pilot with more than 18,000 flight hours, and the first officer, who was relatively new but experienced. It should have been an easy ride. 6 hour flight.
Right over the South China Sea.
Yeah. And the plane, being a Boeing 777, was designed to fly long haul routes with remarkable reliability. It's a sturdy ass plane. But reliability doesn't guarantee immunity from the unexpected. The first sign that something was wrong came at 1:19 a.m. And this is probably the most alarming thing, because the transponder is not supposed to go off or like shut down on flights. Like that is the thing. It's supposed to be tracked. The air traffic controllers are supposed to know where you're at, because planes could literally crash into each other if someone's not monitoring this.
Certainly. There's a lot of fail safes to keep that thing going. It's like unlikely to be a mechanical error that's going to turn that off. Like, it's got to be human.
Yeah. And it's been something that's been going on since, like, what are the Wright brothers? What are they called? The dudes that created planes?
That's right.
They're called the Wright brothers? I got it?
In Ohio, Wilbur and his brother. I don't know them both, but exactly. Like, as soon as they started getting things up in the air,
You know, it's you got to kind of control this stuff.
They were monitoring with shortwave radios in World War II and before. Your great-grandpa.
That's true. I also was just thinking about CB radios, and my dad owned a logging company, and it's one road up the mountain, and there's logging trucks coming down, a truck going up. Like, you have to go on the CB radio and be like, coming up half mile, whatever, because you have to pull over or you're going to slam headfirst into a huge truck, like hauling a bunch of logs. Like, you have to make this communication.
Exactly. And like the transponder, as I understand it, is like, this is pretty, like, it's relatively simple and kind of fail-safe technology to where it's like, it didn't misfire.
Yeah.
It
had
off.
To be shut off. Yes. It's the device that tells air traffic control where a plane is. And it was manually shut off. It didn't just catch on fire or something. So 2 minutes later, at 1:21 a.m., Malaysia Flight 370 vanished from civilian radar. Its last known position, somewhere over the South China Sea, So about 120 nautical miles off the east coast of Malaysia. It literally just vanishes. So the transponder is shut off. There's no emergency call. There's no warning. Just it seemingly disappeared.
Yeah.
Real terrifying. Weird. Air traffic controllers in Kuala Lumpur noticed that the plane had deviated from its flight path, which they obviously thought was weird. And seemingly there was no, you know, weather pattern that would make them think, okay, like they're trying to avoid something. It just
this plane vanished. Is going rogue.
Yeah. They tried to contact the crew. There was no response. Military radar later tracked the plane turning west, heading toward the Strait of Malacca. From that point forward, the aircraft effectively disappeared from the world. I find this timely and very heartbreaking because when you think of 9/11, if you've heard that phone call where the husband calls his wife and basically calmly says, I love you, tell my parents I love them. It's one of the most heartbreaking things you could possibly hear. There's from this flight, there's no phone call to loved ones that went through. There's no, I don't think they knew what was happening. It's truly very heartbreaking. I mean, obviously 9/11 is incredibly heartbreaking, but there's, it's just such an enigma, such a disappearance. And
that's like, one of the like tragic parts of this is kind of the
vanishing innocence. Without a trace.
Well, yeah. The innocence of like the passengers probably didn't know, like as they turn off the transponders and won't respond to air traffic control and start going the other direction. Like at what point did anyone in the plane realize something was fishy?
They may not have ever known. It's like, United flight, the one that went down, but didn't hit
in Pennsylvania tower. On 9/11. We know what you're talking about.
Yeah. They all knew that they were going down and they fought the terrorists.
They knew
or whatever.
The plane was hijacked.
Yeah, they knew it was hijacked and there's all the evidence of it and they were trying to save the most lives as possible, like not landing into a populated area, but they knew that they were going to die and
some heroes took control of that plane and saved probably many lives.
Yeah. I don't think that the people on this plane knew what was happening.
They weren't privy to the plan. I wonder, that you know how on some planes you can like go to the flight tracker? You can like see it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wonder if they turned that off, though. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, did they just like be like, nope, sorry, there's a problem. You're not watching your movie or who knows, you know? But the intricacies of what happened from the flight staff, with the flight staff aware, you know, the flight attendants and...
It's truly hard to know because nowadays too, like after 9/11 happened, you know, when the captain like has to go to the bathroom or something, they put the, like the food cart thingy, they block, yeah. You can't go.
There's all kinds of security protocols that are like, you know, pretty effective. Like it's gotta be the captain was in on it. It seems, you know.
That would be my theory, but, by the end of this story, we'll leave it up to you guys.
Or maybe the plane was hijacked and they did it successfully. They turned everything off and I don't know.
Well, we'll see how we feel at the end of this. So the weather that night was unremarkable. Wasn't like... And nowadays too... So planes used to, before like the 1970s, when they were like, ah, shit. If lightning strikes a plane, it could crash. Not great. They now like have this like protective barrier thing where, you know,
yeah,
lightning ain't taking the plane down. So even if there was bad weather, this is 2014.
Yeah, the planes could fly through, you know, damn near a hurricane.
Yeah, they're fine. So there were some clouds over the South China Sea, but nothing severe enough, to ground a flight. Sure, a plane can have a mechanical failure, but this was one of the sturdiest planes they make. Yet, Someone or something made this plane disappear. It is a true mystery. I always think about this because there's so many like private plane crashes with like celebrities and people that think that they can like, what the hell's his name? He's a famous actor.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
He's
almost crashed his plane several times. Like rich people think they can fly planes.
Yeah. And I mean, a testament to that, like there's been little private, you know, propeller planes that have crashed in the ocean or the middle of nowhere and they can still find debris.
Yeah.
Right. This is a massive plane.
I'm trying to think. There's also like someone that owned a football team. Him and one of his sons survived, but his wife and kids. I'm probably getting this wrong, but I also have a very personal story. And then also think about Kobe Bryant. And then DJ AM.
Yeah, Travis Parker.
And Travis Parker, who survived, but
it's crazy.
They go down constantly. The day the music died.
Yep. Plane, Leonard Skinner. Planes are, you know, somewhat reliable, but like if something goes wrong, the stakes are just so high. And I mean,
but those are small, like private planes. The big ones are not supposed to really go down.
Well, it's more of like they have engineers and mechanics checking everything, every nut and bolt.
Yeah.
Every flight, before every flight. And if there's something just slightly, maybe kind of worrisome, they don't take off. And I have a little bit of knowledge from the guitarist of my old band is a pilot. And like I was with him. He lived with me when he was getting his pilot license and getting his hours. And I would go up with him in little small 5-seater Cessnas, propeller planes. And like even the checks that they have to do to take a plane off the ground when you're a private pilot in a private airport is crazy. And like it's not like you just get in the car and turn it on. Like you're checking every single valve, every fluid.
So we can agree that this was not a technical failure.
We can agree.
This was a disappearance, a mystery. So let's talk about the pilot for a bit. Captain Zahari Ahmad Shahar, who was born in 1961 in Malaysia. He was a man who lived his life quietly and almost maybe too quietly. He was perhaps the type that spent a lot of time playing video games or specifically flight simulation games. Friends and family described him as meticulous, methodical, and intensely private. He grew up in a modest household, the youngest of six siblings in a small town in Penang. From an early age, he was fascinated with airplanes, flight, just being up in the air, model planes, anything that was like mechanical that he could toy with. It was his thing. He joined the Royal Malaysian Air Force in his early 20s and later transitioned to civil aviation, eventually joining Malaysia Airlines. And his colleagues said he was professional to a fault. Like he seemed like very A-type. Just everything had to be perfect. Like everything was in order, punctual, just everything exact. Sometimes he was reserved. No one really knew him, it seemed. Outside of work, he had a passion for politics and social commentary, often voicing his opinions quietly through letters and online forums. These types of things, we have come to know, can be a bit of a red flag. Not always, but I'm just being honest. Like there's been historically alarming cases of people, you know, like Elliot Rodgers, for example. Like I'm not calling, you know, this man an incel, for example, but like going to online forums and people just politically hyping each other up or hating on certain groups. It just, historically, it's not been great, or recently not been great. And I'm not a political person. I'm just saying, like, it can raise some red flags. So one detail that drew investigators' attention was his home flight simulator. According to friends and family, it was a whole elaborate setup, a full cockpit mock-up in his living room, complete with realistic flight controls and mapping software. Logs revealed in the weeks leading up to the Malaysia 370 flight, he had simulated long-haul flights with routes that eerily resembled the flight path that the 370 would later follow into the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, seems pretty suspicious.
Yeah. It sparked a lot of speculation. Some wondered if he had premeditated an act, while others were, you know, against assuming. They didn't want to think bad of him, and maybe he didn't intend on it. I don't think no one will ever truly know. Only he will know what exactly happened. And family members insist he was a loving father, devoted husband, a man of principle. He'd been married for decades, had three children who he adored. His sister said that he was their family's pride, a man who wanted to see the world from above and not bring it harm. And that kind of breaks my heart. Like, it's very possibly true. It could just be a mystery that we don't know what happened.
Or he could have been controlled by somebody. Maybe he was blackmailed and they would have hurt his family if he didn't do this because there was maybe even political ties or some other motive with someone on the plane.
That's an interesting theory.
You never know.
Wow. That is a very interesting theory. I don't know that that's been brought up in the research I've done. But still, in the world of aviation, the cockpit is where every decision matters. The silence after 1:21 a.m. So the transponder being shut off, like, that is weird. That is an intentional move.
Intentional.
But maybe you're right. Maybe someone was on board that was controlling. We don't know.
I mean, some speculation that I've come across before was that there was some sort of cargo on the plane that, like, perhaps someone didn't want delivered to Beijing. And I don't, I've come across this. This could be completely an unverified conspiracy that's just not correct. But, like, you know, maybe he was working for someone and someone kind of had control over him and they were planning this because they knew the cargo was going to be on the plane. They've been working on it for months. I don't know.
I don't think we'll ever know. But, like, was there not the black box that would have...
Well, it would have sunk with the plane and they never found it.
Yeah.
Assuming the plane sunk. Could have landed somewhere.
Could have landed into a mountain or something, or like crashed into a mountain, but there's no debris.
The lack of debris for me is always something that I'm like, I feel like it might have got redirected. I don't know. And like landed somewhere, like who knows what kind of scam or con. I don't know. There's that, like, the most remote military base. It's an American military base. Something Diego. Diego Garcia. Yeah, I mean, this is like just in the middle of absolutely nothing ocean. There's a military base in the British Indian Ocean. Vital to U.S. and U.K. Military operations. And I've also randomly heard that, like, you know, there's a conspiracy theory that the plane landed there.
There are a ton of theories because there's only been like small pieces of wreckage ever found. It is literally like it disappeared without a trace. People do suspect like pilot intent or error, or that perhaps he was suffering from depression and something like that. People also suspect alien activity. Like, it's just...
It could be anything.
Yeah, like it
could have just been in a time warp. Could have like gone back to the future.
Yeah, it's a secret military inception, a remote hijacking. Like I think the hijacking theory might be like, so that would kind of go military too, though. Like maybe there was something
deep state government somewhere that had control over this really methodical pilot, and he had to answer to somebody else.
And it yeah, like and they were doing idea. Some sort of like test something or other, or I don't want to put that out there for the loved ones, but like maybe some of these people are still alive. I don't know.
I mean, because there was no wreckage found, it just seems like maybe the plane was taken somewhere. I don't know. And the Captain Shahar, just the methodical, professional nature of the man makes me think that like this wasn't some renegade like I'm just gonna go crash a plane. Like it seems like he was probably, that's my theory at least, that he was working for somebody.
I think my initial theory was that maybe he was in a bad place in his life, and because of some other like podcasts I've listened to about it and stuff I've read. But now that we're talking through this, I don't know. Now I don't think it was intentional. I think perhaps it was some sort of like plan that he couldn't control, or because I really can't think of anything in history. I mean, I guess besides like, all right, fine, like terrorism and like 9/11, whatever, where people take themselves out and others to like prove a point. Fine, no, never mind. I'm like ruining my point here.
Well, if it was going to be like an act of terrorism, you'd think he would have hijacked the plane and taken it somewhere and crashed it into a building or something. More like 9/11.
Yeah, or had some like sort of manifesto or...
Yeah.
I think that's why it's such an enduring mystery, where it's like, I don't know, now that I think about it, like, it could just be like a freak accident that is unexplainable. And like, I know people say aliens, it could be paranormal. Supernatural. Yeah.
I've definitely seen some like radar things that's like, who knows if they're faked CGI, whatever, you know, After Effects. But like, I've seen some things where there's like some sort of weird happening and like the plane, like, you know, kind of like enters a portal, right? Like, I don't know if I believe the video is real. I've come across it on the internet before.
Yeah.
But like, it very well could be something like that.
Yeah. Well, at the very least, the loved ones of these passengers, some were like college students, some were businessmen, women, mothers, children. Like, it's heartbreaking. And I can't imagine. It's almost like when you think about like when people go missing and their story, you don't know. It's like missing 411, and or like I've covered Amanda Winkowski a bunch on my podcast. Yes, she was found, I believe, murdered, but like she was just missing for a while. Like, or you just don't know. People don't know for like 10, 20, 50 years, or they never know. It's like there's no
closure.
Yeah,
the not knowing's the hardest part.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. And it's like, yeah, like what did your loved one experience as that plane went down? Did it go down? They don't
I'm
know.
Sure at this point, like, even if it was tragic, even if it was horrible, even if it was a terrible fate, the family members would just love to know what happened.
Yeah,
the unknown has to be just miserable.
Yeah. Anyways, well, we apologize for ending on a sad note, but you are listening to a true crime podcast, and who knows if this is true crime? It is a mystery.
Could be straight paranormal.
Yeah, but we love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star rating and positive review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Feel free to join the Patreon for extra bonus content. It's patreon.com/deadlypodcast. There'll be Deadly Diocese content up there, Seven Deadly Sinners content, and just all around good times. Love you guys. Thank you. Bye.
Fisher, they have trace the last signs of the plane to a very small island in the Straits of Malacca.
If the satellite images released by a Chinese government website today are pictures of the missing plane or not. But this is important because the location of this suspected debris is in an area fairly close to the intended flight path of Malaysian Airlines Flight 370, the missing plane.
This much we know for sure, that 6 days and not one piece of debris, not one piece of debris has actually been found.
Searchers now say nothing has been found in the area where Chinese satellite images appeared to show floating debris. In fact, the Chinese embassy now says those images were in fact false.